Hello, everybody. Welcome to Path of the Polyglot. So I think you've noticed that the sound is much different. I've purchased a new microphone. It finally came in. I'm really excited. I'm playing with my new toy, kid at Christmas and all of that. But I've noticed that while my voice sounds better, this microphone is so sensitive. Like, listen. I am sitting maybe, I don't know, I guess 4 feet or maybe like a meter away from the microphone right now, and this is me rubbing my couch. And that's me rubbing the floor with my foot. That is insane. Before I pressed the record button, you probably heard this really like loud clink on my laptop. On my Chromebook, so clearly that's going to be a problem in the future, and I will work with some kind of solution about that. And also, my apartment generally is pretty quiet, but you will hear some kind of traffic noise and some birds, I'm sure now also, which gives it more local flavor. You're listening to Path of the Polyglot. And this podcast is one in which I talk about languages, learning languages, and different things like that. So last week I kind of took a break from having an episode because I didn't want to continue with the bad audio quality, and I finally broke down and I bought a new microphone. But as you can tell, it has advantage. That's my foot again. That's literally my foot just on the floor, scraping the carpet accidentally. So it has its advantages and disadvantages. So I think I sound more like a human being, which is great, and more like I actually sound in real life. But I had to wait a little bit longer with the microphone because there was some kind of problem. They sent me the wrong one, and then I had to send it back, and you know how life goes. So, I'm gonna update you on my quest to learn 100 languages fluently. I've been, as you know, really promoting Memrise, and I still really enjoy that app, but I think one problem I've been having, and I don't know if it's connected with the next thing that I'm going to tell you, but it doesn't really load on the offline version, and there is an offline version, so theoretically, and before, you should be able to use it without having to turn on your data plan. And right now, it seems to be going through some kind of problems where you turn it on and it doesn't load properly. Then you put the data on and then it loads, or maybe it doesn't. And I'm not sure. And maybe if you know anything about computers, you can tell me this. Is it possible that you could download another app that would cause, on purpose, mind you, one app not to work very well? Because I downloaded recently a quite fun app. It's called Drops, and basically what it is, it's kind of like a combination of Memrise and Duolingo. And I don't talk about Duolingo a lot because I think it's kind of what's the word? It's like a it sells itself as being kind of a modern way of learning languages, but basically you're just going through a course and you're memorizing the course. And memorize is more like you're memorizing certain vocabulary and everything else, like grammar and speaking and all of that is up to you. So this drop's kind of a combination of both. And one good thing about it is that this drop's, one, it's fun, but and it's fun and it tries to not use any of your language whatsoever. So I started with Dutch, and it has very rarely does it have anything in English. And mostly it's like car and bus and tram and trolley bus and things like that that you can actually have an idea through pictures, but also it shows different kind of icons, and then it gives you in English what the icon means. And it's really, really fun. And one good thing about it is that it limits your time to 5 minutes every 8 hours or something, so you don't try and study and study and study. And I think the problem with Memrise is that if you're learning a lot of languages, I mean, one, you can't learn a lot of languages with Drop. You can only learn one language with Drop. But if you're learning a lot of languages with Memrise, it can take 2 or 3 hours to go through all of the things that you need to revise. So it would be great if Memrise had a feature. Well, first, it would be great if it worked well all the time, but it also would be great if it had a feature where you could, practice for 5 minutes, and then you could learn something for 5 minutes, and 5, 10 minutes, whatever amount you have time for in a day, and then you could go on to another language like that. And it wasn't like, you have this big list of 500 words that you have to review, which can happen with Memrise. Wow. I'm sorry, but I can hear somebody outside walking up the stairs on my microphone. This is insane. Yeah. So maybe a little bit too sensitive. And I got this microphone because it said that it wouldn't pick up a lot of the noises in your room, and the sound of your voice sounds better, and it's the best for podcasting. So maybe I just have a very loud apartment and I haven't noticed, but I don't think my carpet is that loud. Yeah, so the disadvantage of Drops is that you can only use one language at a time. And also that you, I don't think that there is a review option, but I think it, and I'm not even sure if it counts for your 5 minutes, but it would be great if you had 10 minutes, 5 minutes review and 5 minutes learning every 8 hours, and I think that would be great. And I think for people like me, and probably you, if you're a polyglot or an aspirational polyglot as I am, it would be great if you actually could go on to do other languages. 5 minutes a time too, but I think you, and I don't have any scientific evidence for what I'm about to say, but my feeling is if you're learning French, for example, there is like a certain point where it becomes ineffective. But if you're learning French and then Spanish, it's the same thing. There is a certain point where it becomes ineffective, but I think it's like a new page, right? It's something else that you're learning, and you can be fatigued, clearly, and I think that's a problem with Memrise, but I think that Drops is on its way to a solution, but I don't think it's the entire solution. And it would be great if all of those, I know they're competitors, but it would be great if those companies could take the ideas of, because I think some people like that kind of course thing with Duolingo, and I think that Memrise has embraced that kind of course aspect with some of their core languages. And I think that this drop is going to be very popular because I think it does help you not to think in your own language and translate. So I think maybe Memrise will adapt this as well. But it would be great if they could have like one app together, one app to rule them all. Okay, so that is my and right now, I think I haven't really progressed a lot because I've been having problems with the Memrise, like I said. So I'm still working on Spanish and Irish Gaelic. Okay, so today's topic, you're going to hear me click loudly on my computer, watch or listen rather. Ooh, you hear that? So loud. Today's topic is Cantonese, and I have a very short article that I'm getting this information from. It's languagecourseuk.co.uk. And Cantonese language facts. And Cantonese is one of the main dialects of the Chinese language. And, well, we say dialects, and traditionally they're considered to be dialects, but they're actually each their own language. The most popular, of course, are Mandarin and Cantonese, but there are many, many more. So, like Mandarin, Cantonese is part of the Sino-Tibetan languages. It came from Middle Chinese, and it became the main language of Canton, which is in the area of South China, thus the name Cantonese. Cantonese is spoken by 100 million people worldwide. It's mainly spoken in Hong Kong, Macau, and other parts of South China, but there's also many, many Cantonese speakers in Southeast Asia, and it's the dominant form of Chinese spoken by the Chinese immigrants in Europe, North America, and Australia. But actually, it used to be, because the first waves of immigration from China were from the southern part of China, where Cantonese was spoken, and now there are more waves of immigrants coming from the northern part of China or different places where Mandarin is more spoken. And I was listening to a program on The World in Words. It's one of the early episodes, and they were talking about the fact that Cantonese was losing ground in immigrant communities to Mandarin, and there was a lady, of course I don't remember her name, but she was giving free lessons in Cantonese for people to learn. So I think it's kind of interesting because it's a language that has about 100 million speakers, but still, in many ways, it's a minority language. So it all depends on a context. So if you have 100 speakers of a language, and 10 of those speak some other language, then those 10 are actually a minority within a very small majority. So, yeah, that was kind of obvious, but it's just weird for me to wrap my head around Cantonese being a minority language. Oh, you can hear the birds. So, Mandarin was used as it was kind of selected, like with Italian and Neapolitan. So Neapolitan was selected as the I think Neapolitan, was it Neapolitan? I don't remember from the Italian episode, but I think Neapolitan was selected as the one dialect to represent Italian, and Mandarin also was selected to be the dialect to represent Chinese. But the difference between Neapolitan and Mandarin and the rest of the Chinese languages is that it's nearly impossible, probably impossible, for people who are speaking Cantonese and Mandarin to understand each other. It's like the difference between Hungarian, maybe not so far, but the difference between, let's say, Norwegian and French, you know. So, yeah, maybe they come from the same language way back when, and maybe there are a few things that are similar, but it's really hard to understand. Whereas the difference between Neapolitan and some other Italian dialects is very, very close. It's like the difference between American and, well, maybe a little bit farther than the American dialect and the British dialects. So, Cantonese has six different tones, and the written form of Cantonese is exactly the same as Mandarin, of course, because, Chinese writing, and that's one of the advantages of Chinese writing, is that it can be used for any language. If two people knew Chinese, then they could write and they could carry on a conversation even though they don't understand each other's language, which is unfortunately not the case with European languages. So theoretically, though, that you should be able to figure out how that language sounds just by reading it on the page in European languages. Although, That's not true. Just think about the sound that I just made. Although, if you spell it, it does not make the sound of although in English. Yeah, okay, I think I've been rambling a lot. But I had a lot to say. I missed you guys. I missed talking about language to somebody. So if you want to continue the conversation, please go to the Facebook page, The Path of the Polyglot, and click like and leave your comment. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, please go to patreon.com/Leverton, and you can do so. And I'm going to make a bunch of loud noises on my computer again, and that will be all. So thank you, and good. No, not yet, not yet, not gone yet, not gone yet, not gone yet, now I'm gone.